Good to see each one this morning. If you would turn with me to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. We'll pick up in verse 10. I think on the screen we got verses 10 through 12, but I've added one more verse to that since all that took place. 1 Chronicles 29. Verses 10 through 13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are ye, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone." Let us pray. Father, as we come before your throne at this time, Father, I just ask you, Lord, that each one here, Father, would feel your presence. And Father, as we look at this portion of your Scripture today, of your Word, Lord, I pray that each of us, Father, can truly see you as you are. See how great that you are. See that you are in control of all things. We can see, Lord, that all blessings come from you. And Father, we thank you for that. We do thank you, Father, for the God that you are. And Father, I just pray, Lord, if we just look at just a little bit, and see just a little bit of who you are, Lord, we might learn, we might grow to love you more. But Father, you are truly great. So Father, I just pray your blessings upon your word. And I pray, Lord, that it might be helpful to each of us, Father, as we take a closer look. Be with us, Father. Guide us and direct us. And we give you the praise and glory for all. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our passage today, our scripture today, comes at a time that's close to the end of King David's life. You know that God wouldn't allow him to build a temple. So Solomon, he told David that Solomon would build a temple. And prior to these verses, take time and read, we'll see where the people came and they brought. And they gave of their best to the Lord for the things that go in the temple, like gold and silver, these kind of things. They came and brought it. Now, if we see as what we might call as David's prayer, we see it as a prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God for who he is. And if you look at these surrounding verses, you'll see that David goes on to say that all these things that he gives and the people bring and give, it belongs to the Lord anyway. But that's another lesson for another time. What I want us to see today is just what's on the screen. I want us to see the eternal, the immutable, the sovereign God. Let us truly understand who God is. You know, I was working on this lesson, part of it this week, and sitting there all day Wednesday waiting on the storm to come through. I was praying to God would keep us safe. And you know, I really didn't worry about anything. I didn't want the house to get tore up or buildings blown down or things like that. But I wasn't really worried about anything because, you see, I know this God. I know the God of the Bible. I know that he is in control of all things, and I trust in him. I trusted in him to protect us, and he did. It just seemed like when the storm got close, it just kind of disappeared. But as I mentioned this morning in prayer, that you know, some people were not so fortunate. They had a lot of damage. But as we look at these three or four little verses this morning, there's some things there that I want us to see. Do we truly understand who God is? And hopefully as we go through this message and we see some things, I don't think it'll be nothing new to you. But let us just be reminded of the God that we serve. He is God, and there's none like Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, I just pray that God will deal with your heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. And your eyes would be open. And you could come to see who this great God is. That's my desire this morning, for us to really see who God is. When we understand who God is, then we can put our trust and our faith in Him. We know who He is. We know what He has done. We know what He is doing. We know who's in control. We see these things about our great God. It should just fill us up with love and trust and faith in Him. But sadly, there's so many, I would call churches this morning, but there's so many gatherings this morning where the God of this Bible is not being preached. In today's world, in the modern day of religion, verses like these that I'm going to share with you this morning, things about God, they're being ignored. Preachers today are standing in pulpits preaching about a defeated God, a disappointed Christ, a defenseless Holy Spirit. Man is being worshipped today, and God is being dethroned. God is not put in His rightful place. Man is trying to take the place of that. If you don't believe that, watch some of the messages being preached on your TV. You'll see how quick you'll see how man is trying to take God's place. You know, most preachers today hold to this theory that man is a free agent and he determines his own destiny. God has kind of just been dismissed and kind of put to the side. Man's in control. No. You know, the God most people believe in has good intentions, but He's not able to carry things out. You know, He's not able to do the things that the Word tells Him He can do. People believe today that God wants to bless man, but they won't let Him. You know, the average churchgoer thinks that Satan has gained the upper hand and that God is to be pitied rather than worshipped. You know, when God is mentioned, people think about a baby in a manger, or they think about a man on a cross, or a dead man on a cross. Well, God was all of those things. But God is not a baby. God is not a dead man on the cross. He is in the heavens, and everything is under His control. Everything is going as God plans, and we'll see that. You know, people will search in vain in the Scriptures for the God of modern day preaching, but they won't find it. You won't find the God in this Bible. They don't match up to what's being taught to people today. They don't match up. I tell you this morning, brother and sister, God in the Bible knows nothing of a defeated, disappointed, and defenseless God. The God of the Bible is the Almighty God, is Genesis 17:1. He has all power in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18. With God, nothing is impossible, Luke 1:37. With God, nothing is too hard, Jeremiah 32:17. Now, I'm going to share a lot of verses with you this morning. I know we don't have time to go and turn there, but believe me, I won't read anything to you this morning that's not in God's Word. So you don't have to look there. Trust me. Trust me. Now you can trust me. God trusts me. If God did not trust me, I don't feel like I would be standing where I'm standing today. God has placed me here, not man. This is God's will for me to be here this very day. And when did God know about that? When did God knew that I would be standing here behind this pulpit on this third day of September? In 2023. Do you know when God knew that? He's always knew that. It's no surprise to God. No surprise. You know, too often man tries to, in our way of thinking, we try to just keep God and try to tell people the things that we just understand. But we don't understand all about God. He's too much. So we don't understand about God. We want to limit what we say about Him. Or we want to just speak of what the world would approve of. It's what most men do. I think it's been mentioned this morning that, you know, there's going to come a time that people are going to have them itching ears. And if I repeat anything today you've heard, just think, we all serve the same God. It's not by chance or by accident. So I hope today as we look at this message, we can understand that God is the ruler of this world. So we asked ourselves the question, just who is God? Who is God? Who is the God of this Bible? Who is He? Who's God to you? Who is He? Ask yourself that question. Don't tell me. Tell God who He is to you. Well, the God of the Bible is the supreme being in the universe. He is the highest. He is overall. He is the most high. Higher than the highest. He has no superior and He has no equal. There's none like God. None. As He speaks through Isaiah the prophet and says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? And compare me that we may be alike. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Isaiah 46, verses 5 and 9. So it would be foolish for us to compare God with any creature. Any creature. We cannot compare Him. Because He is so far above all of His creation. So we can't compare Him with any other thing. There's nothing to compare Him to. Because He's unlike anything else. So I want us to see this morning as we look at this prayer of David, to see and understand what David saw about, what he knew about God, what he believed about God. Let's look at some things. First thing that we see is he calls attention to the greatness of God. God's greatness is extensive and it's incomprehensible. We can't even conceive how great He is. We can't understand. So all angels and all men, they are nothing in comparison to God. Isaiah tells us in chapter 40, verse 17, says, all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are accounted to Him as less than nothing in vanity. Then we see the second thing there, King David praises and magnifies God's power. I'll share a few verses with you. Psalm 62:11 says, power belongs unto God. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. Job 37:23, touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power. The power of God is almighty and irresistible. You know, God does whatever He pleases or whatever He wills to do. And man can't change that. Oh, how they would love to, but they cannot do it. He does as He pleases. And His counsel, it always stands. Man's trying to destroy God's Word, but they can't destroy God's Word. He always does His good pleasure. Otherwise, He wouldn't be the Almighty God, would He? He has to be. Again, Isaiah 40:26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power, not one fails. Job says in 26:14, but how little a portion is heard of Him but the thunder of His power. Who can understand? No man can't understand all about God. But there's enough about God revealed in His Word that we should be able to know who He is. We should be able to know whether or not He's the Lord of our life. If we're not living our lives the way His Word teaches us to live our lives, He is not our Lord. If we're living following the ways of the world, it's Almighty God. He is not our Lord. He is not our Lord at all. You know, David, he magnified God. He praised God. But, you know, I don't think God needs us to magnify Him. He doesn't have an ego that needs stroking. Even when He is magnified, even when He magnified Himself, the purpose was that others would know who He was. He don't need us to do it, but folks, we need to do it. We need to magnify God. It's really easy for us to, you know, all the cares and the things of the world that come in our life, we can magnify them, can't we? We can, oh, it's just bigger than I just don't know what to do. Oh, and they bring us down. They discourage us. They distract us. Sometimes they even defeat us. But I give you the remedy to that. Quit magnifying your problems. Start magnifying God. He can take care of it. And if we will magnify Him, we will see Him as He truly is. We will remember how great and good He is. We'll remember that He has strength and that He can provide for us even in our weakness. We'll remember how He can take care of us no matter what the need might be if we'll magnify Him. We've got to take our eyes off ourselves. We've got to put our eyes on God because He deserves that. He deserves it. King David could see. King David understood who God was. But I think so many times in our lives we forget who He is. We forget how great He is. You know, the more we praise Him, the better we can relate to Him. The more we magnify Him, the more we worship Him. And then David mentions the glory of God. You know, the psalmist David declares that His glory is great in Psalms 21 and 5. In Psalms 113 and 4, says the Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Psalm 104:31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. So all the glory that we can give Him with our hearts, lips, and lives, it falls way short of what He is due. We cannot give God, and we don't give God, all the glory that's due Him for who He is. We don't do it. And then fourth thing that we see there, David ascribes to God the victory. God is able to conquer and subdue all things unto Himself. His victories are undeniable and uncontrollable. And when human history has run its course, God will have the victory. This world can say it, this world can do whatever. Whatever God allows it to do. But God will have the victory. Then we see there that David makes reference to the majesty of God. And this speaks of His sovereign power, authority, dignity as the ruler of the world. The majesty of the Most High is unspeakable and hard to understand. All created things are at His disposal.